Welcome to Soul Sisters. I'm Georgie Crawford.
Hello, and I'm Claire Solan.
We've known each other for what feels like a lifetime, but our friendship has really soared, especially over the last few years, as we've navigated some really challenging times. Life is never easy, but what makes it much better is connecting with people who get you.
Sure thing, sister. On this podcast, we're all about the curveballs in life. You know, the ones that come along when you least expect it. We're going to talk about them and share what we've learned on our journey to becoming a life coach
and a health coach.
We're going to have fun and celebrate taking better care of our well-being.
And why we always owe it to ourselves to do the work. The Soul Sisters podcast is a Good Glow production brought to you with thanks to Vichy. Vichy is a doctor-founded skincare brand which has led the way in health and beauty innovation for 90 years. Powered by active ingredients, Vichy's products are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making them a pioneer in skin health science. You can rely on Vichy to provide a safe and effective skincare routine for you, no matter what your skin type or stage of life. All Vichy products are available in local pharmacies nationwide. And coming up, we're going to hear all about their hero product.
Hello, welcome back to Soul Sisters. Hey, Georgie.
Hello, how are you?
I am pretty good. How are you?
I am so good. And I have to say, Claire, I'm absolutely loving all of the feedback that we're getting from people who are listening to this podcast over the last couple of weeks. Thank you so much for joining us on this adventure, I suppose you'd call it. And I even got a message from one of my followers, Leah, who said that she called it soul bathing. So she was going out for a run. She was listening to the Soul Sisters podcast and she said, I'm running and soul bathing at the same time. So I absolutely loved that. So thank you so much to Leah and thanks for everyone who has really supported us over the last couple of weeks.
It's been amazing. I've had loads of really good DMs, many of which I'm going to talk about or mention on today's episode. We've had some feedback on morning pages. And also Sarah has a great question, which we're going to tie into our takeaway for today.
Yeah, very exciting. So let's start with our week.
Yeah. Birthday girl. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How does it feel to be 37?
It feels good. It's a privilege to be alive. I suppose when your birthday comes along, you kind of evaluate where you're at, don't you?
And
you know, January already does that. So then a birthday in January kind of makes you do it twice.
Yeah.
And I was going to bed on Saturday night and I was lying there and I was thinking, first of all, I was delighted my birthday was on a Sunday. I love Sundays. And I was really looking forward to everything we had planned the next day. And I started thinking about, you know, reflecting. Mm. But I noticed that I was only reflecting on the last 4 years. And I suppose my life has kind of worked out that way, that I see it as such a before and after, that I kind of count everything from my illness. So I was like, okay, in 4 years, you know, this is what I've done. And it kind of really struck me. It surprised me. Look, it's been an incredible 4 years. You know, we're about to go on this surrogacy journey now, like visualizing my baby.
Where are you at with the surrogacy journey?
So we are waiting to transfer our embryos into our surrogate. So as always, things aren't happening as quickly as you think they will. Mm-hmm. I probably naively thought that we'd have a pregnancy at the end of the month,
right?
Which is looking unlikely. So now I'm counting the weeks and I'm thinking, you know, there is a possibility we could be in Ukraine for Christmas next year, all going well. And what will that experience bring us? And couldn't even imagine what that would be like.
No.
So yeah, obviously we don't know. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what sort of adventure we're going to go on. Like I was sitting with
my sisters-in-law and my mum last night, and they were saying, you know, you have to still do the baby shower, and you have to, you know, hold up an avocado and a melon and the banana and do all those sort of things. So I'm really excited for that. And I feel like the people around me are going to make it a really special experience.
Even listening to you say you're kind of counting the days with the surrogacy and the pregnancy, I have a desire to tell you to just trust the timing as well as the process, you know, because I suppose you just want to control the situation, because you're so like, as a mum who's about to have a baby by surrogacy, you don't have control. You have much less control. And so you just want to be able to time it the way that you would like to time it. But I guess you can't. You just have to sit back and wait.
And the thoughts of taking myself off to bed and knowing that my baby is in another lady's stomach in a different country, kicking away, just being, and I'm not there for that bit. Oh, like I think about, and I know that, you know, what you say about surrendering is so important, but I think about the moment that I'm handed a baby, what that moment is going to be like. And it just blows my mind that this, first of all, that this woman is going to do this for us. But how am I going to feel when I'm handed a baby that I haven't been able to like feel for that 9 months, you know? And I know we all have different journeys to having a baby. And I hope that I will be able to articulate it for people, because I love to share my story and share my experiences. And I can't wait to share with people what that feels like. So yeah, it's going to be a strange year, but I am so ready and so excited for it.
I'm so full of admiration for you, because that moment when you are handed a baby, I'm sure mums who do this think, is it mine? Will we bond? Like, can I? And there's that extra layer, like that extra, you know, hurdle, I suppose, in what's the most natural process of human existence. But we are your soul sisters, and we are here for every single moment of this journey. And I'm so pleased that you are going to share with us, because it's just magical.
Thank you. And I also, the reason that I enrolled in the New York Half Marathon was to keep myself really distracted. So it's actually in March. I should have booked it for September. But
talk to me about this now, because you have a sore leg.
Yes, I tore my MCL skiing. I was out there on those ski slopes. I didn't even dawn on me that I might injure myself and not be able to do the half marathon. Right? I was like, this is like meditation. I was away from my phone. I was the happiest person on those slopes. And bang, down I went. I heard a pop. I stood up and fell straight back down again. And I thought, oh God. So it is the 25th of January now, and I still can't straighten my leg, and I still can't walk without a limp. We are 8 weeks from the New York Half Marathon, and everything was going great. My neighbor dropped me in an exercise bike. My other neighbor is doing rehab on my knee, Scott. He's brilliant. And Emily dropped me over an exercise bike. So I was up on the exercise bike. I was doing my thing. I was getting a little bit stronger. And then I went to collect Pia from school last week, and I fell outside the school and strain my knee.
No, sorry, hang on. Ricky, rewind. You fell outside the schoolyard.
Yes, and this isn't the first time that I've absolutely mortified myself. Like, Pia's in junior infants. There's been 3 major incidents that have happened to me at the school. The latest thing, 6 months. The first one, was so traumatizing. I'll leave that to last. So last week I fell. Pia was mortified. A couple of weeks before that, I got stung by a bee right at the school gate. You know, that really fast when you really quickly take off all your clothes. Like taking everything. And Pia was like, oh my God, Mom. So, you know, stung by a bee, so sore. And then a couple of months ago, I went and I dropped Pia into school. Now, I work really hard on not projecting frantic energy. It's like my...
Sounds like it's going well.
It's like my go-to is this kind of franticness, right? So yes. I have to really actively try not to put out those vibes into the world. Because I did it for so long. So I get into the car, I'm dropping Pia to school and I look in the mirror and I said, oh God, you know, my hair is a bit messy. So I'll stick my sunglasses in my hair like a hairband. So I went down, brought her down to the school and we walked past another school on the way. I was saying hi to all of her friends who she used to be in Montessori. Hi, hi, how are you? Stopping. Oh my God, you're so cute. They were all dressed up for Halloween, chatting to the mums. Go down to Pia's school, walk in, queue up at the back door, because they go in the back door of their school, standing there with all the other mums and dads, go up, have a little chat with Pia's teacher.
Oh my God.
Make my way back to my car, sit down, and I looked in the mirror. I nearly died, Claire. There was a packet of chewing gum stuck to my glasses.
Sorry?
There was a packet of chewing gum stuck to my glasses. And you know how it was stuck on? With a used chewing gum. So there was an old chewing gum stuck to my glasses on my head. Like 15 minutes of chatting, walking to school, lollipop ladies, teachers, parents, friends. I was like...
You're like the mayor.
Oh, hiya, hiya, hiya. I rang my mum. I was like, mum, mum, mum. She was like, what? Because like my mum doesn't like early morning phone calls where I sound like I'm panicking because it brings it all back. And I was like, mum, I just dropped Pia at school with a packet of chewing gum stuck in my head. And she was like, oh my God, Georgie. Like, Georgie, of course you did. What was your week like?
Not quite as eventful. And no broken limbs, no injuries to speak of. I completed my 200 hours of yoga teacher training.
Oh, well done.
Thank you. I am really, really proud of myself for doing this. I think A, because I haven't, like I'm 41 and I haven't actually done anything since, you know, my mid 20s in terms of qualifications or anything like that. There's just been a wasteland, which I'm going to speak about in a couple of minutes. But the yoga teacher training was amazing. It's in a place called Yoga Haven, which is in Clapham in Southwest London, very close by to me. And it started in September. And it was, for me, I had dipped in and out of yoga for my whole life. There's my first mistake. And I'd always thought about, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to do yoga teacher training? And then I always used to say to myself, but come on, you can't even do most of the poses. So how could you be a teacher? And actually, that was the first thing I realized when I got onto this course with 19 other incredible people, that actually you don't need to know how to do crow or get into the splits or even in my case do a chaturanga. You know, it's you learn and you can teach even if you can't do the poses. So such a positive experience. And I would say to anybody who hasn't done who's thinking about it and sort of scared of it, feel the fear and do it anyway. It is a soul journey of self-exploration and you meet a tribe of people who are just like you. So mega positive experience for me.
And what will you do now with, because you were doing that all weekend, right, for ages. So what are you going to do with that spare time now?
I don't know what I'm going to do with my spare time, but what they told us to do after the course is to make sure you get teaching. So I might be getting you on a Zoom on a Saturday to teach you how to do some yoga.
Nice. I haven't done yoga in so long. Do you remember we went to that hot yoga in Sandyford?
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second.
What year was that? What year?
That was BC, if we may, before cancer. Yes.
That must have been, that was even before I got married. It was, must have been 2013, 2012.
God, yes, it must have been. It was when Bikram yoga was big. It was before, you know, all the controversy around him, and everybody was piling into sweaty studios to get their yoga on. And you were like, you and I must have been working together in Spin, and you were like, yeah, that sounds like fun. Why not? And now you are only a schlip of a thing, in fairness, right? That's one thing that hasn't changed about you. So in 2012 or 2013, we tottered on in to Sandyford. How are you? You, I remember you, one who ran it. She was so nice, curly hair. How are you? Come on in.
Tottered in and crawled out.
I would say, for anyone who's done Bikram, this will make you smile. I would say we probably got as far as the breathing. And I hit, and the room was getting warm, like really warm. And Georgie was like, I could just feel from beside me, like your eyes were like, what the fuck is going
on
here?
It was so hot that it was like, you know, when people say like when you're in a fire, you get down so you can breathe like under the smoke. There was so much steam. It was so hot that the only position that I feel like I wasn't going to puke was on my hands and knees with my head on the floor. And it went on for ages, like 2 hours or something. Is it 2 hours long?
It's 90 minutes long, yeah. And if you, I mean, I saw you get on your knees because I think the lady probably said that what they say is, which is really not very helpful if you're struggling in those rooms, is stay in the room. Stay in the room. Don't leave. So I think she pretty much said to you or signaled to you, stay in the room. So you got down on all fours into child's pose. Unsurprisingly, you never returned to Bikram yoga.
Never returned. Do you know what? I'd love to try hot yoga now as a hydrated person. So I believe that I was chronically dehydrated for at least 10 years of my life.
Wow.
So I would love to go back now as a hydrated person to see how I get on.
Can I talk? This is something I definitely wanted to talk to you about on this podcast. Can I talk to you about being a hydrated person, right? Mm. And just before we talk about you being hydrated, right? Let's just talk about me being dehydrated. I don't think I'm chronically dehydrated, but I enjoy coffee and caffeine a lot, and that dehydrates me. And so then I get to the middle of the day and I think, oh, Jesus, I haven't had a glass of water or I haven't any for ages. And that's the way the cycle of the day goes. So I kind of dry myself out with the caffeine, and then I try and hydrate in the second half of the day, but I don't feel like I'm doing it right.
So you feel like you're playing catch up with yourself.
Shabba.
So in actually, this is in our course, Rise and Thrive. So on our new course, I presented my first ever talk as a health coach.
Wow.
And I kind of just told my story and all of these things that have helped me in the last 3 years evolve as a person. And I always say in my corporate talks and on Rise and Thrive that for me, it started with hydration. So the week that I found out that I had cancer, I couldn't do a lot. I was so shocked. I was devastated. And I remember just saying, okay, I'm just going to start drinking loads of water. I'm going to just start hydrating.
Wow.
So I started that week and I've never looked back. But as well, I would often find myself at 7 o'clock thinking I haven't had any water. And then I start playing catch up with myself. Then I start gulping water. Mm. And then I'm up in the night going to the bathroom. Mm. So they say that you shouldn't drink too much water late at night, because if you're getting up in the middle of the night to pee, you're actually interrupting that deep sleep that's so needed. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you're doing yourself a disservice. Yes, you're hydrated, but you're not getting enough rest.
Yes.
So I make little deals with myself. So the first deal I made with myself when it came to hydration was I love my coffee in the morning. It's my favorite little morning ritual. I absolutely love it. So I make a deal with myself that I have to drink a glass of water before my coffee. So I'm starting the day
brilliant
with my hydration. Then I give myself another target of 2 glasses before lunch. And that way, if you're getting ahead of the day, you can drink less water in the evening and therefore have a more restful sleep.
Can I tell you how much I love caffeine, right? My local Cut the Mustard, I think I've talked about it before. Mm. Go up for me.
Why is it called Cut the Mustard?
Because it's a great name.
But what? I don't get it.
Well, what's that saying? Oh, that doesn't cut the mustard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, no, I don't. So up I went to Cut the Mustard, right? As I would usually do. I usually give myself about 25 minutes before my next call to run up and get it. But it's a real like appointment to drink. you know, appointment to caffeine. So I'll go up to cut the mustard, and I'm peering in the window, and I'm like, this guy's in there with overalls on. And I don't see anyone behind the counter. What is going on here? So there's a dude beside me, kind of attractive, actually. Pair of specs on, ginger beard. How are you? So we start riffing over the fact that, like, Jesus, looks like we're not going to be able to get our coffees today. So man in overalls comes out and goes, hello, kind customers have cut the mustard. I just let you know, there's no coffee going on here today. And I was like, cannot compute. I just stood there looking at him. Like, the other nice gentleman in the baseball hat was like, oh, that's a shame. When's that gonna be amended? And the guy was like, oh yeah, in 3 or 4 days the coffee will be back. I'm still standing in the same position, staring at the guy in the overalls. No, absolutely not.
That doesn't cut the mustard.
It's not cutting the mustard. Well done. So the guy, lovely guy, turns on his heel and goes, guess that's gonna have to be me. I'm gonna have to go. And I'm still looking at him, and he's like, you're obviously not giving up the goat. So the guy in the overall says, they do have a second shop. It's 20 minutes away. Do you want to walk? And you know, if you can walk it, go and get a coffee. I'm looking at the time now. I've got 20 minutes till my next call. I don't have 20 minutes to walk to Franciscan Road and back. So I'm standing there. The good looking guy's gone. Story of my life. I'm alone and caffeineless. All by myself. And I'm thinking to myself, right, come on. You have got the smarts to work this out. Bingo. I'm going to rent a car and drive to the coffee shop.
You are absolutely joking. Is this a joke?
No. So, you know, go cars at home in Dublin. They've got zip cars here. So I get on the app, right? I actually should work for them. I get on the app and I see 5 minutes away, there's a zip car. And I'm totting it up and I'm going, 5 minutes, 3 minutes to get there, 3 minutes to get the coffee, 3 minutes to get back. I'll be back at my desk at 11:59 for that Zoom call to start at 12. And I did it. How many times did you do morning pages?
What did you say?
Is this thing on?
I did it once.
You did it once. You little. So, George, last week we talked about morning pages. And morning pages is a concept around journaling first thing in the morning and just basically spilling your thoughts out onto the page so that you can kind of clear all the gunk and have a great day. Now, we agreed, didn't we, that we were going to give it a go for a week and we were going to come back here and share with the group how we got on. How many times did you do your morning pages, babes?
Once.
That habit's going to take a while to build. Once.
I did it on Wednesday and I felt great after it and I felt really creative. So I can see the concept. So it's like kind of like a brain dump.
Yes.
And then I just felt kind of... this kind of get up and go attitude for the morning. So I can totally see why it would benefit people. But just like when I was in school and you'd go in and they'd ask you, have you done your homework? And I would genuinely have forgotten to do it. So it's like I didn't even think of morning pages then for the rest of the week. Not once.
Yes. Did you not?
I forgot about it until today. But
you see.
If I was, say, for example, trying to come up with a presentation for work or writing something or trying to be creative, I definitely think I would start my day with morning pages to get me into that mindset.
Okay. So do you think that it's something, a habit you're going to try again this week to see if you get 2 morning pages away or?
I'll try do 2.
I did 2. I got 2 away and I was pretty pleased with that. I also had the same feeling as you, a little bit of resistance to it. Like, I realize as I try and add really good habits into my day or life, like the drinking the water we've talked about or adding morning pages, which PS takes about like 5 to 10 minutes. I then start going, don't have time. So I felt a bit of that during the week. But when I did sit down and actually I had a couple of little bits that happened last week that were mighty frustrations. So I took pleasure in scrawling them out into my journal. So I'm going to, if you're going to try and go for 2 days this coming week, I'm going to try and push it to three. Got a great message from a girl called Cara on my DMs this week. And she's talking about The Artist's Way, which is written by Julia Cameron. And it's all about accessing your creativity and Morning Pages. So Cara says, wanted to drop you a line about The Artist's Way and Morning Pages. It changed my life. I used to write as a child all the time, and Leaving Cert English was my favourite. I used to paint and draw, but when I went to study acting in college, I lost it all. I couldn't write or be creative, and after 10 years working as an actor, I had an urge to write but couldn't access it at all. Then I read The Artist's Way. I did it in my own time with no pressure. I hated Morning Pages. I used to bitch and moan about getting up early to do them, but then something clicked. And I wrote my first play. Received funding for it, and I'm writing my second one now. I would say give the Morning Pages time, even a month, to really get into it. Also, handy thing to do if you're struggling with a decision or problem is to ask the question before you fall asleep, and then usually the answer will come out in your Morning Pages. I'm excited for this journey you and Georgia are on. It's a game changer.
Oh, that's so nice.
Isn't that lovely?
Thank you for that message. Yes, so I love it.
That's quite cool. So before you go to bed, if there's something that's swimming around in your mind, write it down in your Morning Pages, go sleep on it, wake up, and then see what you can come up with the next day.
So Claire, you've been using Vichy's hero product Mineral 89 for a few weeks now, and I am so excited to find out how you've been getting on.
First of all, it feels really good to have a serum on my nightstand. Very grown up, one step closer to Oprah, y'all. I love Mineral 89 because it's really light. It's a gel serum which just glides on. It's suitable for all skin types, and I find the best results I get are morning and evening after cleansing.
So the reason you feel so glowy, Claire, is because it's enriched with hyaluronic acid and 89% Vichy volcanic water, which is naturally found in French volcanoes and has 15 minerals essential to good skin health.
I mean, doesn't that just sound incredible? If you want to join the gang, we do have a little discount code for you.
So for 20% off all Mineral 89 products, use the discount code SOULSISTERS20 on marspharmacy.ie for online purchases only.
That's online purchases only until midnight the 31st of March.
So one of the features that we are getting the most feedback on is our recommend section. And this week, Claire, you have something really special that you're going to recommend to us all.
This is a little pocket handbook for life. This is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it's a New York Times bestseller. Of course it is. This guy has a really interesting journey. Let me just give you a little bit of background about him, first of all. He was born into a family of healers in Mexico. So his mum was a healer and his dad was a shaman. And the family anticipated and hoped that Miguel would just follow in their footsteps. But he decided, nah, no thanks. Think I'm going to go off and be a surgeon. Guy had brains to burn. So went off into the medical profession. And guess what, Georgie? Ignored the whispers and had a near-death experience that changed his life.
Wow.
So late one night, he awoke suddenly, having fallen asleep at the wheel of his car. He survived, and after that, stunned by his experience, he decided to devote himself to mastery, wisdom, teaching, and so he wrote this little book. I got one copy for you and I have a copy for myself. I also have a copy of the big one, but the small one is so, it's like a little pocket help book that you can keep in your handbag. And I would really recommend getting on Amazon and picking it up. So the four agreements are: be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions, and always do your best.
So Claire, you bought me this book and I haven't read it yet. But I am excited to learn about what you got from it.
Okay. So the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. This is the most important one. It sounds very simple, but it's very, very powerful. And the most important bit of this chapter for me was, if I love myself, I will express that love in my interactions with other people. And then I am being impeccable with my word, because that action will produce a like reaction.
Oh, right. Okay.
Does that make sense? So if I love myself and I share that love with you, I'm going to get love back from you and for everybody I deal with.
Yes.
If I don't treat myself well, if I sabotage myself, if I judge myself or I have negative thoughts and I interact with you in a negative way, then that negativity is coming back to me.
Yes, yes, yes. That makes so much sense.
Okay. So second agreement, personal importance or taking things personally is the maximum expression of selfishness, because we make it all about us.
Wow.
This was huge for me. So I have an example of this. On the podcast, I've talked about being single and not having any children. And so for me, when people have conversations around pregnancy, or, you know, sometimes you might hear somebody going, God, she'd want to get a move on, wouldn't she? I immediately think to myself, how could you say that in my company when I'm not in a relationship or I don't have kids? They're talking about somebody else, but I'm making it about me. And so therefore I take offense to that comment.
Right.
Shouldn't do that. Mm. When you hear anything that other people are saying, it's not about you. Make it personal and you hurt. Third agreement, we have a tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe they are true. I assume one of my colleagues in work doesn't like me because he never talks to me in the kitchen.
Mm.
He does a round of teas and he never asks me. That means he doesn't like me. And I'm thinking, I'm overthinking the situation in my head. I'm thinking, how have I offended him? What have I done? Why does he hate me? It must be my fault. And now I'm suffering because of an assumption that I've made. And finally, the fourth agreement, always do your best. Now, this is cute because we've been told this since we were kids. Just do your best. That's all you can do. Don't overdo it, right? Don't overservice people. Don't work too hard at your job. Don't try too hard to be liked. Just do your best and honor yourself. This is a book that I go back to time and time again. The Four Agreements. Actually, I heard Sheila Shoiga talking about it as well.
I did too. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely worth having on your bookshelf and maybe beside your bed when you find yourself in a bit of turmoil.
Claire, I absolutely love that. I'm going to read it tonight. I got new linen pajamas for my birthday. So I'm going to put on my linen PJs. I'm going to put on my little Max Benjamin happy pod that shoots lavender oils into my room, and I'm going to read the Four Agreements tonight. I promise myself I'm going to do that.
Do it.
So I want to recommend somebody to follow on Instagram this week.
Mm.
Or if you don't have Instagram, you could maybe order one of his books. His name is Dan Buettner. Dan was on my podcast. I first came across him as I was training to become a health coach. So Dan founded the Blue Zones, and the Blue Zones are the little pockets of the world where people live the longest. So he worked with the Discovery Channel and they found these places. So there's one in Greece, Italy, Japan, California. So they go to these regions and they study these people for years, and they found 9 common habits that these people have. So he talks about this on his website and on his Instagram page. So go check out the 9 habits. But one of the ones that sticks out to me, and again, I speak about this on Rise and Thrive because it's so important and something that I've really learned over the last 4 years. So the people who live the longest have nourishing relationships. And he went to this place in Japan called Okinawa, and they discovered that the people in this region of Japan belong to groups called Moais. And the Moai is like a second family. And in his books and on his Instagram page, you'll see these groups of people who are still meeting up when they're in their late 90s, and they get together and they chat. So Dan is trying to kind of spread the message of these Moais and encourage people to create Moais in their local community. So you could set up your own Moai by, you know, setting up a WhatsApp group. Say you know a group of people who love to cook. So why not set up a little WhatsApp group where you share recipes? And you can have your little chat and they can be like your Moai, or join a swim club, or do the park run. And belonging to this community or having this sense of community helps you become a happier, healthier person.
I love that. Right, time for our takeaway. Every week, we talk to somebody in our network who gives us a little bit of wisdom and some good vibes. And this week, it's Aideen Finnegan. Aideen Finnegan is one of our favorite people. You've just recently been on her podcast, How to Pivot. I haven't seen Aideen in a long time, but I've just checked back in with her on social media. And we all used to work together in radio, and they were fun times. And Aideen's social media and her podcast is amazing and well worth a listen. So the reason Aideen is on the podcast today is because we had a question from Sarah, and it goes like this. Hey, Claire, one topic I'd like to hear more about on the podcast is career and life satisfaction in that space. What do you do when you feel like you might be in the wrong career, but you've no idea what you want to do? Also, what about financial security? Leaving a good job to follow something that may not be as secure or well paid? Please, need some soul advice on this. Thanks very much.
Do you know what, Claire? This is such a good question. I don't even know how to answer it. And I don't know if Aideen will either. But I think when we come together and share experiences, that it can often help us navigate this space and figure it out together.
Thank you so much for having me on Soul Sisters. I'm absolutely loving the podcast. That is a brilliant question in from your listener, Sarah. I mean, we take it for granted that we know what we want. Some people really seem to have a very clear vision of that, and it's frustrating when you don't feel the same way. From the people I've spoken to on How to Pivot, when I ask them about what advice they have for people who don't know what they want to do, here's some of the things that I learned. So one of them was from Andrea Horan, who's the founder of Tropical Popicle. She was working in PR. She knew she wanted to change career, but she wasn't sure to what. But she thought about what she wanted out of a career and what would meet her needs. She knew she wanted a service because she'd kind of come a bit disillusioned with just the consumption we have in general in our society. So she wanted a service where she wasn't kind of creating waste. She wanted to be based on interaction, to be a hub, and she wanted a love letter to her city. And then one day when she was traveling in the US, she was sitting in a nail bar and she just had her aha moment, and Tropical Popicle was born. Brian Bateson worked in one of the pillar banks and he left during the recession. He just hated the job and it was wrecking his mental health, and he just took the leap. And he had some really good advice around, if you don't know what you want to do, just shake up your life in some way. So maybe you have an interest in music or art or, you know, roller skating or whatever it may be, but you're not actually doing anything about it. Well, you know, make time for that. Or did you ever meet somebody at a wedding who said they teach you guitar? Call up that favor. You know, it's networking of a different kind, but it just opens up your brain to new possibilities. In my experience of speaking to people on the podcast, the financial stuff seems to work itself out. It's really about the mindset of, you know, can I tame my inner critic and make this move? Although on that issue of money, I did read a really good book a couple of years ago called How to Worry Less About Money, and it's by a guy called John Armstrong. It's published by the School of Life, and there's lots of stuff in there about changing your mindset and your attitude towards money. I don't know, it might be of help, but I definitely recommend anyone read that if it's something that preoccupies them a lot. So best of luck, Sarah. It's very intimidating thinking about changing careers, but from what I've learned, pivoting stories are everywhere, and you'll find it within you to do it if it's what you really want to do.
Thank you, Aido, for that amazing takeaway. Find Aideen Finnegan on Instagram at Aideen Finnegan, and get your ears on How to Pivot wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything that we have spoken on the podcast today, I will link in the episode notes. I'm looking forward to the week ahead. I have a little meeting with my oncologist. I always feel reassured after having a chat with her. I am meal planning at the moment because I find that when you meal plan, you can get your shopping bills down. So I'm putting together a little outline of what we're going to eat for the week, which I'm enjoying. I want to sort out my house. I feel like I'm living in a little bit of clutter at the moment and I'm ready to let it go. What are you doing for the week ahead, Claire?
Very little, actually. I have just become a yoga teacher. Are you joking? I'm so stiff, I can barely stand up. So I'll tell you what I'm not doing this week. Yoga.
Thank you so much for listening to Soul Sisters. You can follow Claire on Instagram at Claire Solon, and I'm at Georgie.Crawford. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Soul Sisters. If you enjoyed it, please make sure to subscribe so the latest episode lands straight in your library. As I said, our new course is called Rise and Thrive, where I'm presenting my first ever talk as a health coach. And some of the reviews we've been getting in have been so amazing. Michelle said, "I'm honestly astounded at how amazing this course is. I knew it would be fantastic, but it's on another level." We are so grateful for all the messages that are coming in and all the feedback on the course. I've teamed up with Miriam and Jerry Hussey on all the content, and I just know you'll get so much out of it. Our early bird offer of €69 is wrapping up at the end of the month. So for more, you can head over to thegoodglow.ie.